we are learning tonight is dedicated to Ilui Nishmos Evra Mordechai Ben Harav Rav Sholom Shianuach B'Sholom Amnashkova. He should be a Melech Yosef for his family, and they all know Simcha and Nachas. It's also dedicated to Refuah Shalema of the Isho Chashuva Etel Bas Sora, the mother of the Welcher brothers in Johannesburg. She should have a Refuah Shalema in the Shemaim. Yisrael Yehuda's daughter Leah is getting married this week. They should be zeichet to build a bais gadol be Yisrael, and they should have much naches. And the mother Etel Basora should have many wonderful years of simcha naches together with her children and family. And the shir is also dedicated Leilui Nishmoso of Isha Hashuva Rocha Leah Bes Bas of Chaim Moshe HaKoyen, the late mother of my dear friend, Reb Chaim Olinsky, who is here with us tonight. He came for the Yortzeit. This is the second Yortzeit. Tonight is the Yortzeit. Your mother should... Shetanuach b'sholam al meshkova. She should be a melech yosher for the wonderful family. And you and your entire family should only know simcha and nachas la'erech yomim. So this week we read Parshas Chukas. And in the beginning of this Parsha, Zois Chukas HaTorah. I think I have to apologize for being on time. And I hope I won't have to make this apology many times. I will try. I was asked to be on time, and I will make an effort to be on time. So the time of the shiur is 9 o'clock. Today I was outside 10 to 9, which is a very uncommon phenomenon. So I will make an effort to be on time. So I ask, you know, all our good chavedim to try to be on time, because we will try to start the shiur every week at precisely 9 o'clock. So this week we're learning Parshas Chukas. Zois Chukas HaTorah, and Rashi brings what is the concept of Chukah. Lefisha Sotn v'Yom Esuwayla Moinim Es Yisrael Oimo. So Rashi writes, the mitzvah of Pura Aduma obviously defies logic, and it's difficult to give a rational explanation to the mitzvah of Pura Aduma. And there's, in a way, a weak spot for Klal Yisrael, and Achilles heel, and Sotn v'Umis Uvoilam say, Ma ta'am mitzvah zu? Ma ta'am yesh bo? Lefichach kosa v'chuko? Some mitzvahs are chukim. Chukim chukakti, gzeres guzarti, v'yelech u'reshus, lahare rachareyen. Is it only Pura Aduma? Not only Pura Aduma, because we have another source. And Parshas told us, when the pasuk says, the Torah says, "Eikav asher shama Avraham bekoili veyishmor mishmarti mitzvoisai chukoisai v'soirosi." Rashi writes, "What is the concept chukoisai?" And Rashi gives two additional examples of mitzvahs which we cannot really explain. One is chazir, and Rashi doesn't necessarily mean chazir, probably the entire concept, the entire realm of macholos asuris. Why would a cow be mutter and a hog be osur? Why would eating the flesh of a sheep be mutter and that of a mule be prohibited? So that is an additional chukah. The same regarding shatnis, kilei begodim. Why would the combination of tzemer and pishtin cause a prohibition? So Rashi, in two different places, Rashi al Torah, referring to different mitzvahs, makes the same statement. And that is what Chazal define as chukoisai, chukim, chukim chukakti, gzeres gezarti, v'enach u'reshus lahara lachareyem. Which brings us to a broader question, which I want to discuss tonight. In Minchas Osho, in this very parsha, Minchas Osho Bamidbar, there's a very lengthy discussion about Tamei Mitzvahs. We will not go through all the specifics and all the sources I brought there, but we will go farther than I went in that essay, in that siman, and I want to make some very relevant points regarding the broader sugya of Tamei HaMitzvahs. Between the Great and the Shoinim, there are two different schools of thought regarding Tamei HaMitzvahs. The Rambam, first and foremost, was at the head of one school of thought which encouraged the discussion of Tamei HaMitzvahs. And the Rambam writes, it is important. Twice in Mishneh Torah, at the end of Hilchos Me'ilah and at the end of Hilchos Temurah, twice the Rambam says, it is incumbent upon us to deal and try to understand Tamei HaMitzvahs. The Rambam dedicated an entire chelek of Moreh Nevuchim. Chelek Gimel Moreh Nevuchim is almost exclusively dedicated to Tamei HaMitzvahs. Many Rishonim followed in the Rambam's footsteps, notably the Sefer Chinuch. Each and every one of the Tayag Mitzvahs, the Sefer Chinuch writes Shroyrish HaMitzvah, Shroshi HaMitzvah, which essentially is Tamei HaMitzvahs. The Rashba, on the other hand, totally rejected the entire Esek in Tamei HaMitzvahs. And the Rashba said, quoting a Medrash in Parshas Lech Lecha, V'chimai ichpas loy la'kodesh Baruch Hu, Ben shoychet min atzav ala shoychet min awayref, Loy nitnu ha-mitzvahs elo l'tzarov ben esabriyas. Does it really make a difference to a Kodesh Baruch Hu where you're shecht from this side or from that side? Whether you're shecht or you're kill, why would that make a difference? V'chimai ichpas loy la'kodesh Baruch Hu, Ben shoychet min atzav ala shoychet min awayref, Loy nitnu ha-mitzvahs elo l'tzarov ben esabriyas. Mitzvahs, in essence, are all about servitude, about slavery, about doing a Kodesh Baruch Hu's will, without really understanding why. We need to know what to do, and we don't ask why. It is upon us to do our duty. So that Ashford totally rejected the entire discussion and elaboration of Tamei HaMitzvahs. But even the Rishonim that do encourage dealing with Tamei HaMitzvahs made it very clear and emphasized once and again, like we find in Sefer Chinuch in this week's parsha, at great length, dealing with Porah Aduma, the Sefer Chinuch says, we do deal with Tamei HaMitzvahs. That is only Lahalav HaSalavavos VeLasaber HaSuvoizen, inasmuch as it was give us more motivation and more inspiration in the performance of Mitzvah HaTorah and in the servitude of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But none of us could say, Kazeh Re'eh V'Kadesh. We cannot really know that these are the Tamim. We deal with Tamei HaMitzvahs only because it gives us more inspiration and more motivation and more excitement in the performance of mitzvahs, but we cannot really know what the Tamim are. So two great Achronim, and I'm especially fond of these types of coalitions. Rab Chaim Volozhiner in the first Shar, Nefesh HaChaim, Shar Aleph, Rab Chaim Volozhiner has a passage, Shar Aleph, Perek Chof Beis, Tamei HaMitzvahs ad tachlison loynes garo l'shomod miyolam. And I think he emphasizes Tamei HaMitzvot ad tachlitan lo nitgalu l'shom adam meolam. And when he writes l'shom adam meolam, that means no one. Not the Baal Shem Tov nor the Vilna Gaon, not the Rambam or the Ramban, not Moshe Rabbeinu or Aaron HaKohen or Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of all men. Tamei HaMitzvahs ad tachlitan lo nisgalo l'shom adam meolam. And in Kedushas Levi, in this week's parsha, so if Rav Chaim of Volozhin and Rav Levi Yitzchak of Baditchov say the same, obviously that will be consensus. That will be accepted by everyone. And the Kedushas Levi in this week's parsha, Parsha Chukah is dealing with Porah Aduma. The Kedushas Levi writes, Tamei HaMitzvahs ne'elamim mikol adam, also emphasizing kol adam. And the Rambam, trying to deal with the Medrash in Parshas Lech Lecha, quoted by the Rashba, V'chimai ichpes lo el HaKodesh Baruch Hu, ben shoychet min atzav lo shoychet min awayref. So the Rambam makes an interesting point. And, you know, the Rambam's language, Moreh Nevuchim, basically the early philosophical works have a very heavy language. As the Rambam is a master of clarity in Mishneh Torah, but in Moreh Nevuchim and in the philosophical works, the language is far more difficult and heavy and cumbersome. But the Rambam essentially writes in Moreh Nevuchim, Chelek Gimel Chavov, and once again Mem Ches. Kol Hanoisin Tam LaProtei HaMitzvos Einu Elo Mishtageya. Very, very offensive language. And I think the emphasis is Hanoisin Tam LaProtei HaMitzvos. When the Rishonim deal with Tamei HaMitzvos, they deal with the general idea of mitzvos. But trying to explain the details, that is futile. So the Rambam says, that is futile. We don't look for explanations in the details of mitzvahs. And that is the Rambam's interpretation of the Ma'amei Chazal, V'chi ma'ich v'slo l'kodesh bohu ben shoychet menatzah v'l'shoychet menuairev. We could understand the mitzvah of Shechita. But don't try to explain why Shechita has to be formed in this fashion and not in a different fashion. So that is the Rambam's approach and his interpretation of that Ma'amei Chazal. So what I said is just a brief introduction. And I will go into the details. I will deal with four different sugyas, starting off with a very few mitzvahs. They could be counted on the palm of one hand, on the fingers on one hand. In some mitzvahs, actually, Tamei HaMitzvahs are mefurish bikro. And the Bach gives halachic significance to this detail, to this phenomenon. The Bach Siman Chesen Hilchas Tzitzis, once again, Siman Tofresh Chofein Hilchas Sukkah, the Bach explains. Why the tour? And Hilchas Sukkah writes that the sukkahs that our forefathers sat in B'Eretz Mitzrayim were Anani HaKavod. And the Bach asks, why would the Torah write that? The Torah is not commentary on the Torah. The Torah is Piskei Halacha. Why does it make a difference what those sukkahs were? Ki b'sukkahs ishavti es b'nei Yisrael. So the Bach writes a tremendous chiddush, and he writes, those few mitzvahs in which the Torah specifies Tamei HaMitzvahs, when you perform those mitzvahs, you need Kavona L'Tam HaMitzvah. And because by Sukkah the Torah says, L'man Yedu D'Rusechem Ki B'Sukkah Sheshavti Es B'nei Yisrael, the Kavona is Ma'akev. And when you sit in the Sukkah, you need to think about those Sukkahs, and therefore we need to know what those Sukkahs were, because we need to know what are we supposed to remember. That is a machloikis tanuim, whether it's sukkahs mamash or nanei kovet, and it's a nafkam and a lalucha. Because in these mitzvahs, intention is required. Besides the general halacha of kavonas a mitzvah, mitzvah sichas kavona, by these mitzvahs we need a specific kavona to remember those sukkahs, and therefore we need to know what you have to think about, what were those sukkahs the Torah is dealing with when it says, Ki b'sukkahs ishavti es b'nei Yisrael. And the Rabach points out that there are three mitzvahs in this category, three and only three, tzitzis. L'man tizkeru, v'asisem es kol mitzvahs Hashem. Tvilin, l'man tiyeh Torah Hashem b'ficho. And sukkah, l'man yedu d'rusech. Some achroinim broaden the scope of this idea. And in Agada Shel Pesach Divrei Shol, from the great Gaon Rabbi Yosef Shol Natans on the Shor LeMeishiv, as well as the Bekuri Yankiv in Sukkah Tofrei Shchofei, they say the same rule applies to Pesach Matzah and Morer. And therefore, Kol Shel Yom Shloishet Vorom Eilu Lo Yotzi Yedei Chavosoi. In Menchas Hosha Moyadim, I wrote, no, this doesn't make sense. If it also applies to Pesach Matzah V'Morah, so why doesn't the Bach include Pesach Matzah V'Morah? The Bach is the Morah D'Shmaitzah. He is the one that was Mechadish this great Chiddush. So why does he omit and ignore Pesach Matzah V'Morah? So I don't think it applies to Pesach Matzah V'Morah. And I want to make a distinction and differentiate between the objective of a mitzvah and the tam, or the reasoning of a mitzvah. They are not one and the same. I find it far more comfortable, from my point of view, to deal with Hagdoras and Loshon Kodesh. After all, that is the Sprach of Torah. So there's a difference between Tam HaMitzvahs and Tachlis HaMitzvahs. Tam and Tachlit are not one and the same. So I think Tame mitzvahs are the reasons. The reasons are never ma'akev. And you never need kavona for the reasons of mitzvahs. But you do need kavona, and that is so simple, to achieve the objective. So when the Torah says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands, put on tzitzis, laman tizkeru ve'asisam, it's called mitzvahs Hashem, that is the objective. That is not a tam. That is not a reason. That is the objective. Where does mitzvahs tzitzis have to take us? What are we supposed to achieve by wearing tzitzis? What are we supposed to achieve by sitting in the sukkah? Laman yedu doiroisechem. I didn't write our scroll, but I'm trying to translate right at this moment. Laman means you should sit in the sukkah so to remember that your forefathers sat in the sukkah. You should put on tefillin so that the Torah should be on your hearts and in your mouths. And you should put on tzitzis so to remember that you are mechuyev in taryag mitzvahs. So when the Torah says, Laman yeidu, laman tiyah, laman tizkeru, that is the objective. That is where the mitzvah has to take you. And therefore, that is what we have to achieve. And therefore, this is essential. But when we're eating Pesach Matzah Memorah, the Torah doesn't say, Laman, laman tizkeru. Obviously, these mitzvahs are Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. But we do not find the objective of these mitzvahs, and therefore it is different. But I still would add another mitzvah to the list. Because in Parshas Re'eh, by the mitzvah of Achilas Maaser Sheni B'Yerushalayim, the Torah says, Laman tilmedun liyiro es Hashem Elokecho. So what would be the difference between Laman yedu d'reseichem, Laman tizkeru, Laman tiyator es Hashem b'ficho, or Laman tilmedu liyiro es Hashem Elokecho? That is also an objective, Laman tilmedu. So I say yes. We would add on another mitzvah to the list. Why is it in the Bach? Because the Bach is a commentary on the Torah. And the Torah doesn't deal with the mitzvah of Achilas Maaser Sheni B'Yerushalayim. The Torah deals only with mitzvahs anoreges v'zman hazeh. V'zman she'ein beis hamikdash, there is no mitzvah of Maaser Sheni B'Yerushalayim. Bekorov b'yameinu, when we will be zeichet to Mashiach Tzidkenu, and I'm convinced that the Torah will update his work, and he will include the mitzvah of Maaser Sheni. I assume that the Bach will update his as well. So we will have mitzvah number 4, in which Kavana is Ma'akev. When we eat Maaser Sheni B'Yerushalayim, we need to think, and we need to strive. And we need to try. Leman tilmedu liyiro es Hashem Elokecha. So this is Chiddush number 1. The special category of mitzvahs. And they are, according to the Bach, 3 mitzvahs. According to me, 4 mitzvahs. One more. Mitzvahs in which the Torah tells us what is the objective, what is the tachlis of the mitzvah, and that bears relevance. And I differentiate between tamia mitzvahs v'tachlita. 5 places in Shas, 5 different sources, we find the machlokes of Yehuda b'Rishimin, Haim Daroshinan Tame Dikro. And in these sugyas, we're dealing with mitzvahs in which the Torah does not say neither what is the tam nor what is the tachas. And nevertheless, we find the machlokes of Yehuda b'Rishimin, according to Reb Yehuda, Lo Daroshinan Tame Dikro, according to Reb Shimon, Daroshinan Tame Dikro. The Rambam Paskins, obviously, even though it's somewhat of a controversy, Lo Darshinan Tame Dikro. Where do we find this Machloikis? Bava Metzia Kuftes Vava Medalef, dealing with the Issa Loitachbol Rechayim Verochem. When you have a Mashkin, you have to give it back for the personal use of the person that you took the mashkin from. If you're dealing with an almona, don't give it back by night. And there's a machlokes Yehuda v'Shimon. Is this a gzeres akosev, or do we understand sheloy lahasi al shem ra bein shcheinu zeh? Sanhedrin chof aleph omid aleph. When the Torah says a mitzvah which applies to Melech Yisrael lo yarbe lo inoshim pen yasuru levavoi. Once again, Do we understand the reasoning of this mitzvah, which is so obvious, or we say lo darshinan tame dekro? Soita daf tesu med aleph. By the din of hashkoas asoita, ein mashkin shtei soitas ka'achas. Those that say darshinan tame dekro explain, shirota elibo gas b'chavirto, and then there would be a slim chance that she would confess and salvage herself and save her life. That is Soita Tesu Med Aleph. Yevomis Chav Gimel Loises Chatein Bom. And once again, Yevomis Ayin Zayin Amoini V'mayovi Lo Yevohu B'Kahal Hashem. In five different sugyas, we find the Machloikis Reb Shimon V'Reb Yehuda. Chazal also explain the din of Psur Machshava Bekotshim along the lines of Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Shimon, Haim Darshin and Tame Dekro. By halachic definition, the Rambam paskins, Lo Darshin and Tame Dekro. And this is the basis of the basic assumption which I quoted before, clarified by the Rambam and the Chinuch. Even those that do deal with Tamei HaMitzvot, not Halacha LaMaisa. We cannot rule and we cannot decide, and we cannot be Machadish Halachas according to what we guess is Tamei HaMitzvot. So Tamei HaMitzvot basically have no relevance Halacha LaMaisa, even though some Rishonim felt that it is important to deal with Tamei HaMitzvot. So, what I intend to do in the coming minutes is just a brief compilation of very unique sugyas in which I want to make an argument that sometimes Tamei HaMitzvot do have halachic relevance. So I will choose only those sugyas in which we find different tamim, and different tamim would impose different halachas. So what degree is there halachic relevance in tamei HaMitzvot that are not found in Torah, not even in Chazal, but tamei HaMitzvot that we find in the Rishonim, and we will have some surprising chidush. Brochas Lamed Gimel, there's a very famous sugya. Hu oimer al ken tzipo yagiu rachamecho mishat genoisoi. That's a mitzvah. That's a mishnah. When a person says in davening, al ken tzipo yagiu rachamecho, Rabbeinu shel Olam, you have mercy on a ken tzipo. You gave a mitzvah, shalach te shalach esuem, esabonim tikach lecho. So have mercy on us as well. No, mishat genoisoi. We don't let people daven in that fashion. That's wrong. And the Gemara, there's a machlokes amaruah. What's wrong with a person saying in his davening, in his tefillah, ken tzipo yagiu rachamecho? One opinion in the Gemara is, mepnei she'matal kinah ben masa bereishis. The other is, mepnei she'oisa midoisav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu rachamim ve'enom elov gezeiros. Who told you that the mitzvah of Shluach Meken has anything to do with Rachamim? How do you know? Why would you say that? It's not written in the Torah. You have no right. And therefore, so it would be surprising that Rambam, on one hand, Hilchas Tefillah, Perik Tes, Halacha Zayin, Paskins, that is the reason Mishat Kenoisei. Mepnei Shoisei Midoisev Shol HaKodesh Baruch Hu Rachamim Ve'ein HaMer Adinim. However, the Rambam Chelek Gimel Amor Nevuchim explains this mitzvah because that is HaKodesh Baruch Hu's mercy, and HaKodesh Baruch Hu has the Rachamim on a bird. She shouldn't see how her offspring, her eggs, or chicks are taken away. So the Rambam, on one hand, Paskins and Hilchas Tefillah, in accordance to those who say the reason Mishat Kenoisei is Mishum She'enem El Gzeiros, However, Moina Vuchim, when he deals with Tam and Mitzvahs, he does adopt that explanation. So the Tosis Yom Tov, on the spot in the Mishnah, Perek El Masechet Brochas, explains that it may very well be that the reasoning of Shiluach HaKen is because of Rachat Mabal Kol Ma'asov. But you can't say that in davening, because if it's not definitive, how could you make such a statement? What we daven has to be true, and it has to be pure. It's a guess, fair guess, a reasonable guess, but not more than that. And therefore you cannot say that in davening. So this would explain why the Rambam Moyen Avuchim does adopt that explanation, because it's reasonable. And the Rambam already apologized in his introduction that when I give Tamei HaMitzvahs, I don't mean to say that these are the Tamei. So if you want to say in your davening, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, if you have Rachmonas Al Kan Sipper, have Rachmonas on us, that is a misstatement. No, you cannot say that. Because how would you know that that is the reason of Shiluach HaKen? The Zohar in Tikkuni Zohar. I don't know whether you're all familiar what Tikkuni Zohar are, but there are Shivim Tikkunim, which is an essential and integral part of the Zohar. Shivim Tikkunim, or explain, does anybody know? The first Pasuk in Torah, Bereshis Boro Elohim. And in the Zohar we find Shivim Tikkunim on the first Pasuk in Torah, Moshe Bereshis Boro Elohim. And in Tikkun Vav, the Zohar has a very unique approach on the Mitzvah concept of Yagiur HaChamecha. And the Zohar says, Knesset Yisrael Liyoyne Im Sala. Knesset Yisrael is Nimshel to a bird. And when we send away the mother and take her eggs or little birds, her offspring, we are Goyim Gaguim, and longing and tsar to that bird, and that is ma'orer tsar HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Golus HaShechina, and in a way that is ma'orer Rachamei Shemayim. So it is not because of the suffering of the bird that we have the mitzvah shalach teshalach S-O-M. To the contrary, when we send away that bird and she's longing for her children, and she comes back and finds an empty nest, that is Ma'orer Gaguim, and in a way, that is Ma'orer Gaguim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Golas of his children. And the Chasam Sofer, in an interesting tshuva, Tshuva Sor Chaim Simen Kuf, says, there would be an afkamen al halacha. How do we explain the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen? Shiluach HaKen today is a very popular mitzvah, and every now and then people call me and invite me to do Shiluach HaKen. According to most Achronim, there is no mitzvah at all in Shiluach HaKen unless you actually want to eat those eggs or those little chickens. If you have no need for them, why would you send away the mother? Why would you just disrupt the harmony of this little family? What is it? Why would that be your business? If you're hungry and you want to eat those eggs, or you want to eat those little birds, then you have a mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen. The Chasam Sofer writes, if a person does Shiluach HaKen without any need for the eggs or the birds, it's midas achzorius. It's no mitzvah at all. So that is the opinion of the Chasam Sofer and Chaim Simen Kuf. The first to deal with this question is the Chavis Yor. Chavis Yor, Chuvis, Chavis Yor, Simen Samech Tes. Sefer HaMakle, and many others. That is also the opinion of the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish Yoredeh Simen Kuf Ayin Hei. But nevertheless, the mitzvah is, whenever we can, to perform Shiluach HaKen. And that is based on the Zohar. Because if we assume the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen is just minimizing the suffering and the pain of the bird, don't take away the eggs in her presence, at least send her away, she shouldn't see when you're robbing her of taking away her future, then the Chasam Sofer and the Chazon Ish are right. So what's the mitzvah if you don't need those eggs at all? But according to the Zohar, that is the point. The point is causing the mother to long for her children, and in that way be ma'orach ha'mishamayim. So the Chasam Sofer brings the Zohar, but the Chasam Sofer says lo darshin an ta'ama dekra, and therefore we would not paskan a halacha and be mechadesh halacha in accordance to the Zohar. The Zohar bears no halachic relevance, and therefore the Chasam Sofer paskins, if you don't need those eggs, you have no mitzvah of shiluach haken. So this is an example in which two different interpretations of Tamei mitzvahs would affect halacha. And according to the Zohar, we bechadish is a mitzvah of shiluach haken, even though you have no need for those eggs. So why are we so frum regarding shiluach haken when the Chasam Sofer says that that is a mitzvah of zorius? Because there are many zgulas that we find in Gedolei HaDoros regarding shiluach haken, and because we are a generation that is very fond of zgulas, that's why we are very fond of the mitzvah of shiluach haken in all different circumstances. Even in those circumstances, according to some sofer, the Chazon Ish would be no mitzvah at all. So my psak is, you know, if you have a nest on your window or in your tris, and you want to get rid of it anyway, or on your merpeset, birds carry parasites and germs that they're not very healthy to have in your presence. If you want to get rid of that nest anyway, then do shiluach haken. But if you're just taking a walk in the woods or anywhere else and you find a ken tzipa, just leave it alone. Because according to most poskim, you don't need those eggs, you don't intend to eat them. So according to most poskim, there is no mitzvah at all. So if the ken tzipa is anywhere near your presence and you want to get rid of it, then do shiluach haken. But if you're just out in nature, leave them alone and don't do shiluach haken. So shiluach haken would be one nafka mina. Number two, mitzvah mezuzah. So we all know that mezuzah is a shmira, the shame that is inscribed on the outer part of the mezuzah is Shin Dalet Yud. And some Svorim say that is Rosh HaTevis Shomer Dal Sois Yisroel. In Yerushalmi, Masechet Peah, Dalet Omed Aleph, we find an interesting story. Rabbeinu HaKadosh sent a gift for Artavon. According to most commentators, Artavon, one is a non-Jew, was a Gentile, and he was friendly with Rebbe, and Rebbe sent him a gift of mezuzah, and he said, this mezuzah will be a shemira for you. I wrote many tshuvas. Is it permissible to give a mezuzah to a non-Jew? So, according to most commentators, Artavon was a non-Jew, and he got a mezuzah from Rabbeinu HaKodesh. That is not the sugya we're dealing with today. So obviously, a mezuzah is a shemira. But is that the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us mitzvah mezuzah? Definitely not. How would we know? Lo darshinan tamed dekro. Mezuzah choyves adal. And if you have a house, as long as you don't live in that house, you have no mitzvah of mezuzah. How do we know? How do we know that the mitzvah of mezuzah applies only when you live in the house? It doesn't depend on ownership. You have 10 houses. As long as you don't live in the house, you don't have a mitzvah of mezuzah. Rashi Psochem Dalet Omed Aleph writes, because mezuzah is shmira. And if you don't live in the house, there is no need for shmira. Which is a tremendous chiddush. Because the Torah doesn't say what mitzvah mezuzah is about. And according to Rashi, Tamei HaMitzvahs dictate halachas. And when Chazal say mitzvah mezuzah choyves ador, and as long as you don't live in the house, you don't have a mitzvah of mezuzah, it is based upon the understanding that mezuzah is a shmira. So as long as you don't live in the house, you have no need for shmira, which would be a tremendous chiddush. The halacha of mezuzah choyves ador we find once again on Bava Metzia Kuf Aleph Omed Aleph, and Rashi there gives a different interpretation. Why is mezuzah choyves ador? Because the Torah says beischo, and Chazal interpret beischo derech biyascho. Derech biyascho is mashmeh, it is only a door in which you use, you go in and out. It is only when you live in the house. So the din of mezuzah chayves ador, we find in Rashi two different explanations. One approach is gzeres akosuv beischo derech biyascho. The other is because it's shemitah. So interpretation number two is a tremendous chiddush, because we don't find in the Torah that mezuzah is a shemitah, and even if mezuzah is a shemitah, nowhere do we find that that is the reason the Torah requires putting on a mezuzah. In Pashtus Advarim, the message the mezuzah conveys is the same as tefillin and tzitzis. We are avdei Hashem. Chavivin Yisrael shesibav anakodesh baruch hu b'mitzvahs. That's a Gemara in Menachos Mem Gimel and Bavli, Sof Masechet Brochus in Yerushalmi, Sheva b'yom halalticho. Four tzitzis, two tefillin, and one mezuzah is seven. Sheva b'yom halalticho. And the message the mezuzah conveys is the same as tzitzis and tefillin. We are avdei Hashem. What's in the tefillin is also in the mezuzah. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Has nothing to do with Shemira. But nevertheless, one of the two approaches of Rashi is Chovis Ador Mishum Shemira, which proves that sometimes Tamei HaMitzvahs have clear halachic relevance. And this brings me to somewhat of an argument I have with the Chassam Sofer, if that is legitimate. Sounds strange, but nevertheless, yes, that's what it is. So, in Yevomis Kuf Yudalet, we find, however, we have three sources in Torah's Moshe, Lo Safinen Le Biyodayim, Shrotzim, Dam, Tumas Koyhanim, Emoyo V'omartu Lahazir Gedoyle Malaktanim. So if a child, a minor, a cotton, is over Avanisar, you don't have to intervene and prevent. But you are not allowed to feed him something which is prohibited. Los of Finan Levi Udayim. The Tumas Adeshen is one of the great Rishonim. And Chelek Beis Simes Samech Beis, the Tumas Adeshen explains, why would that be an Isser? Wouldn't these two halachas be contradictory? If you don't have to intervene and prevent the cotton from eating macholas asurais, why is it prohibited to feed him macholas asurais? Why would there be a difference whether it's kumvaseir sheval taisi, whether you're actually feeding him or you are to prevent him? The Tumas Adeshen doesn't come to reconcile this question, but he does say that the Issa of Sfiya Biyadayim is we don't want him to develop bad habits. And if he will be accustomed to eat something that isn't kosher, it would be difficult to keep him from doing so when he does become a Bar Chiyuva after his Bar Mitzvah. And that is why the Torah prohibits feeding children or supplying them or bringing about a situation in which they are over aveiros. The Chassam Sofer Or Chaim Siman Pei Gimel deals with a very painful question. A child that is limited, has limited mental capacity. And obviously for the rest of his life he will be halachically defined as a shoyter, and he will be potur min hamitzvos. Is one entitled to put a child with impaired intelligence into an institution in which they feed the Velas HaTeifas, an non-kosher institution? Baruch Hashem, our society in the past, I would say 20 or 30 years, realized that we too have special needs children, and they are born not only on the other side of the fence, but in our families as well. And today, I think, throughout the world, there are many institutions al taras hakodesh for special needs children, but I remember 30, 40 years ago, there was no kosher institution for children with special needs. And obviously that was the situation in the time of the Chassam Sofer. And the Chassam Sofer has a lengthy tshuva, Or Chaim Pei Gimel, dealing, would that be defined as Sfiya Biyudayim? Or would that be defined as Kot Noichol Aveles, Shein Beis Metzuvah Na'afrishay? But the Chassam Sofer makes an interesting point. And he argues, according to the Trumas Adeshen, if the basis of this Issa would be just the fear that he might develop bad habits and it'll be difficult to wean him off those bad habits after his bar mitzvah. So when we're dealing with a child that b'derech hateva will never be mechuyev b'mitzvahs, would there b'chlal be an issur of sfiyah b'yodayim? So the Chasam Sofer writes, according to the Trumas Adeshen, there would be basis for leniency. Because if it is not expected that this child will ever be a bar chiyuva, then there should be no issur of s'loy sefina le b'yodayim. However, the Chasam Sofer argues, loy darshin and tam edekro. So how does the Trumas Adeshen have the authority to say this is the reasoning? And therefore the Chasam Sofer is machmir. So how does Rashi know that the reasoning of mezuzah is shmirah? And Rashi explains that that is the basis of the halacha of choyves adar. And this brings us to another psak of the Chasam Sofer, which is similar to the one I just quoted. So from Arachayim Pei Gimel, we switch over to Yoredeya Kuf Ches in Chuvas Chasam Sofer, dealing with Issa Schoira B'Macholos Asuros. Some Macholos Asuros are also Banoa. For instance, Orla, Kilea Kerem, Chomez V'Pesach, and Bosa B'Cholov. Some Macholos Asuros are only also Ba'Achila, Mutar B'Hanoa. For instance, Nevelis, Treifis, Minim Temeim. But even those Macholos Asuros that are Mutar B'Hanoa are also B'Schoira. You cannot buy and sell and do business with Macholos Asuros. Most of the Shoyle maintain it's an Issa D'Oraisa, as seems to be Poshet in the Sugi Psochim Kuv Gimel Omid Beis. So the Chasam Sofer, Yoredeya Kuf Ches, deals with the question, could a person invest in a company that manufactures and sells Macholos Asuros? The Chasam Sofer quotes a Rashbo Chelek Aleph Shin Aleph, which is a misquote. What he quotes from the Rashbo is not in Chelek Aleph Shin Aleph, but rather Chelek Gimel Simen Reish Chov Gimel. And the Chasam Sofer obviously remembered Tshuvas Rashbo, but not the correct source. And the Rashbo says, what would be the reasoning and the understanding that Macholos Asuros are Mutar B'Hanoa, but they're also B'Schoira? What would Schoira be different than other Hanoas? The Rashba says, if you buy and sell Macholos Asuros, the Torah's Choshesh, you might forget and consume. You might eat those Macholos Asuros. So the Chasam Sofer says, according to the explanation of the Rashba, if you have an investment, a company that's on the other side of the world, Zelo Beheseg Yad, it's not a little shop, a kiosk, or a grocery store in which you're there and you're selling Macholos Asuros. It's merely having a company or a factory somewhere on the other side of the world. Or if you're manufacturing or you're selling meat, but the meat is not fitting for consumption, it's raw meat. So the Chasam Sofer argues, according to the Rashba, there would be a basis for leniency in those situations. But the Chasam Sofer says the same argument. How does the Rashba know that that is the tam that the Torah asks Chayra the Macholos Asuros? Lo darshin and tam et dekro. Therefore, it has no halachic relevance. So in one sugya, the Chasam Sofer rejects a tam that the Trumas edition suggests, and in the other, the Rashba. These are the Rishonim. And I want to bring two sources, very clear sources, in which the Rishonim teach us that sometimes we are Machadish Tam at the Krol directly to be Machadish Aloch. Both are the Rosh, Toysus HaRosh Boba Metzia, Nav Tzadik, dealing with the Lav Lo Tachsom Shor Bedisho. When you're working with an animal, you need to let that animal eat. you cannot tie its mouth shut. That would be causing excessive suffering to an animal. Lo tachsim shor bedishoy. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia, hoisu matrezes, if the animal was ill and it had diarrhea, and eating would just exacerbate the problem. It is for the benefit of the animal to keep it from eating, then you are entitled to tie its mouth shut. And the Rosh asks, how would we know that the basis of this lav is for the benefit of the animal? Lo yidarshin an tama dekra. The Rosh explains, in some cases, the reasoning is so obvious. It is self-evident. And therefore, Chazal do have the authority to explain given mitzvahs and to be mechadesh halacha according to their understanding. What else could be the explanation of lo tachsim shor b'dishoy if not for the benefit of the animal? So Chazal were mechadesh halacha in their understanding the essence of a mitzvah. And I think the Rosh goes l'shitosoy in Bava Kama Simen Aleph. Shen v'regel chayev potur b'rishus harabim. Because the Torah says, u'bier b'zdei acher. The Rif writes, shen v'regel potur b'rishus harabim, because it's orchei. Because animals walk b'rishus harabim. Animals eat b'rishus harabim. After all, they're animals. And it's orchei. And therefore, the owner of the animal doesn't bear liability. Rather, a person putting his fruit or vegetables in the shusarami, he bears responsibility. You are the one to take care of your stuff, your produce, when you know that horses and cows are here. So the Rosh asks, why would the Rif suggest an explanation, orchei? It's exeilus akosev, ubiya bizdei achar. So the Rosh says, because there's an nafka minela halacha. What is the din if an animal walks b'rishus harabim and while walking kicks a stick, and that stick is a long stick? The other side of the stick or the board is b'rishus hayochad, and it broke a vessel b'rishus hayochad. The animal was walking b'rishus harabim, but the nezek occurred b'rishus hayochad. Would he bear responsibility or not? So the Rosh says, according to the explanation of the Rif, he's potter because it's orchei. And we ask, but the Torah doesn't give this reasoning, this explanation. In the Torah, we could say it's exes because of a biyabiz deyachar. So how did the Rif know to suggest this explanation? And the Rosh says there's an afkam in el halacha. I think the Rosh litzit tosoy from Bava Metzia Daf Tzadik. Sometimes it is self-evident. And Chazal, Baroi Chavdaz, Kochem, have the authority to explain. This is the reasoning of a given halacha, of a certain mitzvah, even to be mechadesh halacha. So I would say, let us rely on the Rashba, one of the greatest Rishonim. And if the Rashba says the Issa Schoire is mechashash, Shema Yovai Lechol, that does have halachic relevance. Otherwise, the Rambam wouldn't write, the Rashba wouldn't write that reasoning, that time. And just like the Rif says, the Rosh says, if the Rif writes, Orchai, why would he say that? Because it has halachic relevance. And I say the same regarding the Rashba, Beisus Choyra, and the same regarding the Tumas Edeshon, Legabe Lo Safina Levi Yadayim. So when the Rishonim do give Tami Amitzvus an halachic context, that has halachic relevance. That is what we learn from the Rosh Bava Metzia Daf Tzadik Beloy Sachsim Shor B'dishoy, the Rosh Bava Kama Simen Aleph Lagabe Shen V'Rega B'Shus Arabim, Rashi and Psochem Daf Dalad regarding Mezuzah Choy V'Sadar. So I would rely on the Tumas Edeshon and the Rashba. If they explain a din d'oraisa in logical terms, that should have halachic relevance. Kach neron ani ustayt. The last definition or chiddush I want to say in today's Shir is, we also need to differentiate between tamim, reasons, and definitions. They are not the same. We aren't supposed to be machadash halacha based on tami and mitzvahs, but hagdora is everything. The definition of mitzvahs is everything. That is the basis of all halachic discussion. That is the basis of halacha ruling. And I want to give three examples defining between tamim and hagdoras, reasons and definitions. Once again, Lechsam Sofer. Today we're dealing a lot with Tshuvas Chasam Sofer. Evan Ezer Chelek Aleph Simen Pei Hei. Lechsam Sofer deals with an elderly lady. Her husband passed away at her old age. They had no children. Is she required to get chalitza or not? So the Chasam Sofer says, if she has no intention of getting married, there is no need for chalitza. The Divrei Malkiel argues against the Chasam Sofer. Tshuvas Divrei Malkiel Chelek Dalet Siman Lamed Gimel. The Chasam Sofer himself quotes Isaiah. Once again, Isaiah. The Isaiah says, what is the inyan of chalitza? The neshama of the deceased has no menucha until his wife gets chalitza. According to the Zoya, the Chasam Sofer writes, we should require chalitza even though she has no intention of getting married. However, lo darshin and tamid dekro, and we cannot impose Kabbalah standards on people. What is binding is halacha and not Kabbalah. That is the psak of the Chasam Sofer. So if she has no intention of getting married, we would not require chalitz. What happens to the nifter? Oh. I don't really know. What happens to the nifter? We will have to tell the nifter, listen, talk to the Chasam Sofer. You know, that's his psak. Some way or another, you will have to work things out with him. So, that is the Zoya, that is the Chasam Sofer. So what is the Machlokes? I don't think the Machlokes is regarding Tamei HaMitzvah, but rather, how do we define Chalitza? Is Chalitza a Matir or a Mitzvah? What is the essence of Chalitza? According to the Chasam Sofer, the basic definition of Chalitza is a Matir. Like Gerushin. It is a matya. The essence of chalitza is to sever the bond between the deceased and the woman and to enable her to marry. If she has no intention of marrying, chalitza is not a mitzvah, it is a matya. Others argue, no, it's a mitzvah to say, like any other mitzvah. It is also a matya, but essentially it's a mitzvah. So that is the question, how do we define chalitza? It is not why, but what. What is chalitza? And not dealing with the question why. The same regarding tefillas kelim. Minchas Osho Bamidbar Siman Samach Ches, there's a lengthy discussion. How do we define tefillas kelim? Is tefillas kelim a matir? You cannot use kelim that you purchase from a non-Jew until you do tefillah. Is there any mitzvah of tefillah's kelim when a person purchases kelim before he intends to use them? Is tefillah's kelim essentially a mitzvah? And we would say, this is a magdim al mitzvah. You bought this kelim, you need to do tefillah as soon as possible. I proved from the Rambam, tefillah's kelim is a matir. And there are numerous nafka minas la'alucha. How do we define tefillah's kelim? So sometimes we are dealing with the basic definition, the basic hagdorah of a mitzvah, and not tamei mitzvahs. So tamei mitzvahs may not be very relevant in halachic ruling, but definitions are everything. And the definition of a mitzvah will dictate all its halachas and basic details. And there are many, many examples. So today, I think we had an interesting discussion regarding the broader concept of Tamei HaMitzvos. Minchas Osho, in this week's Parsha, Bamidbar, there are many more examples, but I think in today's Shiur we reached points and depth of this discussion that I did not discuss in Minchas Osho on this week's Parsha. So one of the mitzvahs which are defined as chukim is por aduma. Chukim chukati, zeres guzarti, ve'en lechurushus. Obviously, this mitzvah defies logic. But Rashi does bring a time in the continuation of the Pasha, Rav Moshe Darshan. Rashi writes that por adum is a kapor an chet wegel, tovay em, v'tekaneach tzayas bena. Let the mother come and clean up the mess that the calf caused. How is por adum a kapor an chet wegel? What was Chet Ueger essentially? So most of the Rishonim assume a basic assumption. It would be totally far-fetched and unreasonable to understand Chet Ueger as Avodah Zorah in its simple form. Is it possible that the Dor HaMidbar that witnessed Mamed Har Sinai Be'eineihem Ro'u, they witnessed Kriyas Yamsuf? How could they worship idols? That doesn't make sense. So many Rishonim, and this interpretation is based on Midrash Chazal, explain it wasn't really Avodah Zorah in the simple sense. They thought that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. He promised to be back after 40 days. And the Sultan caused them to think it was already night, and obviously he didn't come back. And they were terrified. Moshe is no longer to be. And out of unbelievable admiration for Moshe Rabbeinu, they were convinced that no mortal could take his place. No human being could take the place of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the elders, even though they didn't really have the mitzvah of the Mishkan yet, but some of them knew that ultimately, in Kodesh HaKodeshim, Holy of Holies, in the holiest place of Klal Yisrael, Ana Roinu Eides, V'bo Luchos HaBris, there will be Kruvim. These Kruvim are statues, but they symbolize Klal Yisroel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will use those Kruvim to make His will known to the people. V'zman she'oysen retzoyne shalmokim p'nei emi shalochiv. V'zman she'ein oysen retzoyne shalmokim p'nei emi labayis. They were made of gold. But in a way, in some miraculous way, they as if had a nefesh. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu let us know whether He's angry with us or not through those kruvim. So the Medrash says they used Shemus and they made an eagle, and that eagle was like a living creature. And when the Pusik says in Tehillim, Tavnis Shor Oichel Esev, the interpretation of Chazal is not, it was a Tavnis of a Shor Eichel Esav. It was Tachnas Shor Eichel Esav. The eagle walked around. It ate grass. So obviously they knew Kabbalah Maisis, and they knew how not only to make a statue, but in a way to instill in it some form of a nefesh. And their intention was that a Kodesh Baruch Hu should make His will known through this eagle. So the Beis Halevi asked, so why are the Kruvim Kodesh Kodeshim and the Egel is Avodah Zorah? And he says the answer is a very simple one. Because of Kodesh Baruch Hu asked for the Kruvim and He did not ask for the Egel. And that makes all the difference. So the Chet of Egel was, they were too smart. Or at least they thought they were so smart. And that, in a way, affected their total submission to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to His mitzvahs. The Kruv Em HaKadosh Kodeshim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked for this Kruv. The Egel is Chuli Chuli, Avoy the Zorah, because it is not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked for. And maybe that is the way in which Pora Adum is Mechaper Al Chet HaEgel. It's not because this is a cow and that was a calf. No, that means nothing. It is, in essence, the realization, the understanding, the appreciation of Chukim Chukati, V'Gzeres Guzarti, V'Yein Lechu Reshus Lahar Lachareyen. That is the Kapora on Chet HaEgel, the way we understand Chet HaEgel. David HaMelech says, Yehili B'Somer B'Chukecho. In the introduction to Minchas Osher HaGodesh Shel Pesach, I wrote an idea of which I am very fond. The Medrash says, Yili b'somer b'chukecho, chukecho is loshen rabim, plural, chukas ha-pesach and chukas ha-pora. What do chukas ha-pesach and chukas ha-pora have in common? Nothing. They are so drastically different. What is Chukas HaPora? Gezeres Gezarti Chukim Chukakti V'yelech Roshus Lahar Al-Achareim. You don't even have a right to think. Needless to say, you don't have the right to discuss. Chukas HaPesach, they don't even let you shut up. Eini Yodei Elishol. Ma Ata Rotzeh Ma Nebuch Deka Eini Yodei Elishol. But we provoke him to ask. Oikim Es HaShulchan Mechalkin Kloyes Ve'egoizim. We provoke all our children. Ask. So Chukas HaPesach and Chukas HaPora seem to be so drastically different. And that is the bakosha of David HaMelech. How do we understand when to apply Chukas HaPesach and when to apply Chukas HaPora? So what is Judaism about? Are we entitled to understand? Are we obliged to understand? Do we allow to think? So, b'chukas ha-pesach, ain lechu reshus laharer. Chukas ha-pesach, you're not even allowed to be silent. Not only are you entitled to think, you need to ask and discuss and converse. So how do we reconcile chukas ha-pesach and chukas ha-pora? I think the answer is in Parshas Akedah. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately tells Avraham Avinu, Al tishlach yadcho al hanar, v'al tas lo im umo, Avraham Avinu puts down the knife and says, Achshav afari sichos. Mitchilu amarti li kevi Yitzchak yikore lecha zora. Chakach amarti li halay Hashem li yoylo. V'achshav atu oimer alay al tishlach yadcho al hanar. Why does Avraham Avinu wait till he asks two questions? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Kachnu es bincho es yechidcho, Halei Hashem lo'elo, why didn't he ask? Rabbi Nishalolim, this doesn't make sense. You promised me, Kivi Yitzchak Yikur al Chazora. How do you expect me to slaughter him? He didn't ask. When does he ask? Only after HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Al tishlichot chorana. So I think, when you have a duty to perform, that is not the time to ask. Because any question might cast doubt in your mind, and it might negatively affect your dedication and your motivation. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, Kach no es bitcho es yechitcho asro haftu es yisok velei shom liyoylo, he understands. This is the time for Chukas HaPora. Obviously it's a gzeirah. It is only after HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Al tishlach yadcho al hanar that Avraham Avinu says, now I would like to understand this saga from the beginning to the end. So first you said to me, Kevi Yitzchak Yikor HaChozor. Then it was required to bring him as a sacrifice. And now you say Al tishlach yadcho al hanar. When you have the avoided to perform, that is not the time to ask. but time ultimately comes in which you are entitled to understand. How to work out Chukas HaPesach and Chukas HaPorim? That is the challenge. That is the challenge every Jew has in this world. Sometimes we are confronted with questions to know to what degree we are allowed to ask, when and when not. That is the challenge which David HaMelech asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yehi Libi Samim B'chukecha Laman Lo Yevush. So we should always have the schus to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'ahava uve'simcha, to work out Chukas HaPesach and Chukas HaPorim. We should be all bizoicha, v'korov b'yameinu, to be mekayim the mitzvah of Pora Aduma l'kesheyovoi ha-goyel, and we will be zoicha to be as Moshiach Tzedkeinu and Binyan Beis HaMikdash b'mheiro b'yameinu. Amen.